and slit already. Gascoigne opened it and withdrew its contents. The first document enclosed was a short letter from John Hincher Garrity, MP for the electoral district of Heathcote, in Canterbury. The politician authorised a representative of the Hokitika Courthouse to act as his agent in drawing down funds from the Garrity Group's private account at the Bank of New Zealand. He trusted that the enclosed documents would explain the matter sufficiently, and thanked the representative in advance for his efforts. Gascoigne put this letter aside and turned to the next document. It was also a letter forwarded by Garrity. It had been addressed to the Garrity Group.
Hokitika, the 25th of February, 66. Sirs, I write to inform you of the regrettable wreck of the bark Godspeed, of which I was until very recently the operating master, upon the treacherous Hokitika Bar. The ship owner, Mr. Crosby F. Wells, is recently deceased, and I am settling matters as his proxy. I understand that in purchasing Godspeed, Mr. Crosby F. Wells inherited all extant policies from former owner A. Lauderback, member of the Garrity Group, and therefore that Godspeed is protected and indemnified by said authority. I seek now to draw down all funds designated by Mr. Lauderback for this purpose in order to facilitate the removal of the wreck. I enclose the full record of all expenses, deeds of sale, receipts, quotes, inventories, etc., and remain yours, Francis W. R. Carver.
Gascoigne frowned. What did Carver mean by this? Crosby Wells had certainly not purchased Godspeed. Carver had purchased the craft himself, using the alias Wells. Gascoigne shuffled through the remaining pages, which had evidently been forwarded by Carver to Mr. Garrity as evidence of the validity of his claim. He passed over the harbour master's assessment of the wreck, a balance sheet of all the debts incurred, and sundry receipts and testimonials, until he found at the bottom of the pile a copy, presumably Carver's personal copy, of Godspeed's bill of sale. Gascoigne took up this last item and looked at the signature closely. It had been signed by Francis Wells. What was Carver playing at? Looking at the signature a moment longer, however, Gascoigne perceived that the large loop on the side of the F could easily have been a C. Why, yes, there was even a dot of ink, fortuitously placed between the C and the F. The longer Gascoigne looked at it, the more the ambiguity became clear to him. Carver must have signed the false name with this future purpose in mind. Gascoigne shook his head, and then, after a moment, laughed aloud.
"What's tickled you?" said Burke, looking up.
"Oh," said Gascoigne, "nothing of consequence."
"You just laughed," said Burke. "What's the joke?"
"There is no joke," said Gascoigne. "I was expressing my appreciation, that's all."
"Appreciation? What for?"
"A job well done," said Gascoigne.
He returned the letters to the envelope and stood, intending to take John Hincher Garrity's letter of authorization to the bank at once. But just as he did so, the foyer door opened, and Alistair Lauderback walked in, shadowed at his heels by Jock and Augustus Smith.
"Ah," said Lauderback, perceiving the letter in Gascoigne's hand. "I'm just in time, then. Yes, I had a message from Garrity himself this morning. There's been a mix-up, and I'm here to set it straight."
"Mr. Lauderback, I presume?" said Gascoigne dryly.
"I want a private interview with the magistrate," Lauderback said. "It's urgent."
"The magistrate is taking his luncheon at present."
"Where does he take it?"
"I'm afraid I don't know," said Gascoigne. "The afternoon sessions begin at 2 o'clock. You are welcome to wait until then. Excuse me, gentlemen."
"Hold up,"
said Lauderback, as Gascoigne bowed and made to exit.
"Where do you think you're going with that letter?"
"To the bank,"
said Gascoigne, who could not bear officious rudeness of the kind that Lauderback had just displayed.
"I have been deputized by Mr. Garrity to facilitate a transaction on his behalf. I beg you to excuse me."
Again he made to leave.
"Hold up a moment," said Lauderback. "Just hold up a moment. It's on account of this very business that I want an audience here. You're not to go off to the bank before I've said my piece."
Gascoigne stared at him coolly. Lauderback seemed to realize that he had begun on the wrong foot, and said,
"Hear me out, would you? What's your name?"
"Gascoigne." Gascoigne, is it? Yes, I had you for a Frenchman.
Lauderback held out his hand, and Gascoigne shook it.
I'll speak to you, then, Lauderback said, if I can't get the magistrate.
I imagine you would prefer to do so in private, said Gascoigne, still without warmth.
Yes, good.
Lauderback turned to his aides.
You wait here, he said. I'll be 10 minutes.
Gascoigne led him into the magistrate's office and closed the door behind him. They sat down on the Windsor chairs that faced the magistrate's desk.
All right, Mr. Gascoigne, said Lauderback at once, sitting forward. Here's the long and short of it. This whole business is a set-up. I never sold Godspeed to a man named Crosby Wells. I sold it to a man who told me that his name was Francis Wells. But the name was an alias. I didn't know it at the time. Francis Carver, it was him. He took the alias, Francis Wells, and I sold the ship to him, under that name. You see, he kept his Christian name, only the surname changed. The point is this, he signed the deed with a false name, and that's against the law.
Let me see if I understand you correctly, Gascoigne said, pretending to be bemused. Francis Carver claims that a man named Crosby Wells purchased Godspeed, and you claim that this is a lie.
It is a lie, said Lauderback. It's an out-and-out fabrication. I sold the ship to a man named Francis Wells.
Who doesn't exist?
It was an alias, said Lauderback. His real name's Carver, but he told me that his name was Wells.
Francis Wells, Gascoigne pointed out, and Crosby Wells' middle name was Francis. And Crosby Wells does exist, at least he did. So perhaps you were mistaken about the purchaser's identity. The difference between Francis Wells and C. Francis Wells is not very great, I observe.
What's this about a C? Said Lauderback.
I have examined the forwarded copy of the deed of sale, Gascoigne said. It was signed by a C. Francis Wells.
It most certainly was not.
I'm afraid it was, said Gascoigne.
Then it's been doctored, said Lauderback. It's been doctored after the fact.
Gascoigne opened the envelope in his hand and extracted the bill of sale. On first inspection, I believed that it read merely Francis Wells. It was only on leaning closer that I saw the other letter cursively linked to the F. Lauderback looked at it, frowned, and looked closer, and then a deep blush spread across his cheeks and neck.
Cursive or no cursive, he said, see or no see, that deed of sale was signed by the blackguard Francis Carver.